राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. It gives me great pleasure to welcome all of you, wonderful guests who have come today for this beautiful festival. We are actually very grateful to you, as Raghamanjari was saying, that you have really spared your precious time to come here. Actually, the topic that we would be discussing today is a topic which is discussed, one of the most discussed topics in the world. Love, the word itself, is a very interesting word. So when I was thinking on this topic, we thought of a fable that we had heard when we were young. The story is that once upon a time, there was a king. And this king was very, very cruel-hearted. He was cruel to his subjects, he was cruel to everyone. And of all people, he was cruel to his very own son. So one day, this cruel king got a desire in his heart. He was thinking that I need to possess a bubble. You all know what a bubble is, right? Yeah, everyone knows a bubble. I need to possess a bubble which will never break. Is that possible? Yeah. The first thing when a bubble is formed is, it breaks, right? But somehow, this king had this desire that I need a bubble which will never break. So he called his son, his young, small little son, and he said, listen, you go anywhere, to any part of the world, but you get me a bubble which will never break. And if you don't, then don't return back. Because if you come back without that bubble, I'll kill you. So the little child, he didn't know what his father wanted. So he just left. He left the palace and started walking in search of a bubble which never breaks. And as he walked, starving, without anything to eat, without anything to drink, this little child, for days together, he was just walking. And one day, he just collapsed. Because he had no more strength to walk. And when he fell on the ground, in front of him, he saw a saint, a monk. And this monk lifted him. And he asked him, what is it, my dear child? What are you doing in this forest? So then, this little boy explained to him the whole story of the desire of his father. So the monk said, oh, that's all that your father wants? A bubble which never breaks? Yeah, I'll give it to you. So he handed him a bubble, and this child was surprised. He said, this is a bubble which will never break? He said, yes, try what you want, it will not break. So this little boy started beating it with a stone, started poking it with things, but it just wouldn't break. So he was so happy, he just leapt in joy and he ran with his bubble back home, back to the palace. And when the king saw that his son had come back, actually with a bubble which doesn't break, he himself was surprised. So he tried everything to break the bubble. But it just wouldn't break. So the king, to his utter surprise, he couldn't understand. But he was happy that finally he had a bubble which didn't break. So he took that bubble and he kept it in a very nice place in his palace. And next day, lo and behold, this bubble became two bubbles. It doubled. Just didn't understand. How was this happening? And the next day, the two bubbles doubled. So you can imagine. And they can't break the bubbles. So the bubbles are just doubling and quadrupling. But you can't break them. Within days, the whole room was filled with bubbles. Then his whole palace was filled with bubbles. And they wouldn't break. And within days, his whole kingdom was filled with bubbles, which wouldn't break. Huh? And what did they do? The citizens started complaining. They can't even look at each other because it's all bubbles. We don't break. Right? It was such a crisis in the whole kingdom. The kingdom is filled with bubbles. We don't break. Huh? So the king was agitated. He was cruel as usual. So he called his son. He said, "What is this? Now my kingdom is filled with bubbles. Now I don't know anything. You just go and get me a solution to break all these bubbles. And if you return back without them, then I will kill you." So the little child, he didn't know anything. He was taking those, so the father gave him the original bubble, which had started off. And on his way, he was carrying this bubble, which was doubling and quadrupling, and he was walking, just searching for a solution so that the bubbles would break. And for days together, he walked, and finally again, he just collapsed out of hunger and exhaustion. And when he fell on the ground, he again saw the same monk who had gifted him with that bubble. And then the monk saw him and said, "Now what? What is your father saying now? What has he sent you for?" Saying, "Now my father wants me to find a solution to break these bubbles. Because our whole kingdom is filled with bubbles." Huh? So he says, "Why do you want to go to such a father? Just forget him. He is so cruel to you. He's torturing you so much. Just forget him. I'll take you to some other place where you can live happily. He's sending you all these things. Just forget him." And when this monk said this, the little boy, he was so sad. His face became so sad. And tears started flowing from his eyes. He said, "No, I can't leave my father. I just can't leave him." So the monk said, "Why? Why can't you leave him? Just forget him. Just leave him. He's so cruel." So this little boy, with tears in his eyes, he looked at the monk and he said, "I can't leave my father because I love him very much." And when he said these words, "I love him very much," from the core of his heart, immediately the bubble which was there in his hand just broke. Just broke. And the monk smiled. He said, "Now you understand what is the solution? Every time in your kingdom, when any citizen with a sincere heart expresses his love to another individual, each of your bubbles will break." So the boy returned back to the kingdom and he gave this message to his father. And they all started doing this. Yeah? Each person with such love was actually saying, "I really love you." And one bubble would break at a time. Yeah? The story is so instructive that we see in our own lives and in the world around us that these bubbles of false ego and selfishness are actually causing so many problems. Yeah? And the only thing that is required to solve most of these problems resulting from these bubbles is just love. Yeah? Love between people, love between countries, love individually and collectively. So the only thing lacking is love. People say that there is a lot of poverty. There is hunger of the belly. But actually speaking, the hunger of the belly is not so much in the world. It's more a poverty of the heart. It is hunger of the heart. And what does the heart need? It just needs love. Yes? Yeah? You agree with me? Yeah? Does the heart need anything else? No, it just needs love. And everyone is hankering for it. Yeah? Everyone is searching for it. For love. So, how important it is, the subject matter, for all of us to actually understand today evening. What is this love? Yeah. How can I attain this love? So to start off, we'll just begin with a definition. What does the dictionary explain? What is love? So the love is defined as an intense feeling of deep affection, of fondness. Yeah? And now love has different aspects. But a very important aspect, which we want to cover today, is that it is everlasting. And what does everlasting mean? That which is not affected by time, yeah, by the normal travails of time, which is endless, yeah, which is eternal, which doesn't cease, which doesn't have an end point. Right? Yeah? So, we will be trying to make an attempt to understand what is this everlasting love. So first we need to know what is a prevalent present-day understanding of what is love. In the world today, when we talk of love, what is the conception that people have about love? What is the most common conception that people have about love? Can anyone tell me? Yeah? You're all youngsters. Most of you are going to college. Yes? Sorry? Grasp it, yes. The most common thing is just have it, just enjoy it. And of this, the most common notion is the loving relationship between a boy and a girl. Right? When you talk of love, the first thing people think of is, yeah? So this is one of the most commonest concepts. And of this, the media has hoardings all around. The newspapers are talking of it. The magazines are talking of it. There are songs made on this. Huh? Love songs. Yeah. Films are made. Love stories. Millions of people are flocking theaters to see these love stories. Fantasy stories. Yeah. 3-hour fantasy. Right? And then they say, thus they lived happily ever after. Huh? Yeah? You pay some money, you go and see, and then you see, oh, very nice. But is that really what happens? Yeah? Is that really what happens? Is there something more than that that happens? Or everywhere you see this as a fantasy, a beautiful fairy tale story? No. It doesn't happen that way. We see it around us. It's happening again and again and again. Huh? It's a classical story. Is that a boy meets a girl. They fall in love. They're madly in love after each other. They just can't be separated. Even moments seem so difficult to spend without each other. They can't even think of living without each other. Have you seen people like this? How many of you have seen people like this? Yeah? No one? No one? Yeah? People are just madly in love. They can't wait to be together. And finally, they are together. They get married. And then, within weeks, or maybe months, or maybe years, they can't stand each other. Why are you here? Yeah? It's too much. It's disgusting. Repulsive. What happened to that love? What happened to all those vows? What happened to all those promises and sacrifices? Huh? Was it really love? Or was it something else? There are so many instances in present day. The newspapers keep churning out stories practically every day. They have something to fill up their papers. But that's what's happening everywhere. Yeah? So many instances that we can quote from. Yeah. One instance that just came to my mind was a few years back, there was a very famous cricketer in the Asian continent, in one of our neighboring countries. Very famous, very popular, very successful. Yeah. And was considered to be one of the most eligible bachelors. And he was not getting married for a long time. Finally, he did get married to a European girl. And that was glorified in the papers as the marriage of the century, and everyone's talking about it and so many things. And she was doing so many sacrifices, in the sense she left her wealthy nation and she came to live in this underdeveloped country. She even converted her faith just out of love for him. Yeah, so-called love for him. Huge. Everybody's talking about it. And within a few years, they say, okay, now we quit. Yeah? I'm tired of you, you're tired of me, just forget it. I don't need you, you don't need me. So let's part ways. Yeah? So what happened to all that love? What happened to all that sacrifice? Yeah? Was it really love? Or was it something else? A devotee was speaking to me about this concept, saying that initially marriage or whatever, when there is a relation between boy and girl, it's the going is like, you know, touching a glossy paper. Everything is smooth, everything is nice. You know the feel when you touch a glossy paper? Yeah? It's nice, it's smooth. And within some time it becomes like sandpaper. Rough. The going is rough. And within some time, the solution is just throw it into the raddi. Huh? Just forget it. Huh? This is what it is. Right? Yeah? Do you agree with me? Or I'm talking of some other age or... Yeah? Is it what I'm talking relevant? Yeah? And then there are so many songs sung and there are so many albums and everybody is talking about love. But most of the time, the themes are frustrated love. Yeah? Jilted love. Yeah? Where people feel cheated and frustrated. Yeah? And they're singing those songs of their frustration. Yeah? And people relate to it. Because most of the time, people who are listening have experienced it in one way or the other. Yeah? So, that is a general concept that people have. And this frustrated love, actually love is supposed to give pleasure, but frustrated love is so painful. The statistics show that the number of people committing suicide, hardly any people commit suicide because they don't have anything to fill their belly. Very rare. Most people committing suicide is people with a broken heart. Frustrated love. Yes? But, is that the only form of love? Love between boy and girl, male and female? Is it the only form of love? Yeah? Who says it's the only form of love? In any other form of love? Any other relations where we have loving relations? Sorry? Friends. Who else? Parents. Yes, parents. Right from when we are young, you're taught to love your parents. Nobody teaches. You develop love for your parents. Right? And the love of the parents is supposed to be the most purest. Yeah? Selfless love. The mother and the child, especially the love between a mother and a child, is close to the purest love. Because the mother is not paid. Yeah? Does anyone pay the mother? That you raise your child, okay, you get so much salary. Yeah? Does anyone pay? No. She's not paid. But she's on a 24-hour duty. Right? Yeah, we've all experienced this. Right? With our mothers. Yes. She's on a 24-hour duty. Without any pay. Why? What is the thing that is pushing her? That's love. To take care of a child. So this love is so high. It's so pure. But unfortunately, in the present day, there's so much degradation that even this relationship has so many anomalies. Huh? You see that, right? Mothers are killing the child in the womb. Yes? The medical science may give many sophisticated names. Oh, we're just removing tissue, etc., etc. Right? But that's what it is. Mother is killing the child in the womb. Why? Because that baby is an obstacle in her sense gratification, in her enjoyment. Yes? Have you heard about this? Yes? How many of you have heard about this? Are you all awake? Okay. Please tell me when you get bored so I'll stop immediately. Right? This is very common. Right? Mother killing the child in the womb. So where is it bonding? Where is it love? And the other side is children's love for their parents. Right? Children love their parents as long as in the present day they are there to take care of them and provide them. Yeah, there is love. But the minute they are old, and everybody starts thinking, what is the need of this old man? What is the need of this old woman? Just better put them in an old age home so they stay away. Yeah. I've seen this. Once in the hospital we had an old woman who was suffering from a very, very severe disease. She was very serious. So we had to admit her. And the evening when I went to the ward, could hear loud noises coming from the room in which she was admitted. And when I went in to see, it was actually the old woman's two children quarreling amongst each other. What were they quarreling about? Who's going to take care of her? Saying, you stay. Saying, no, you stay. I don't want her. Even I don't want her. Huh? And this old lady is looking at them. And she called me and she said, Doctor, please don't save me. Because there's no one to take care of me. Nobody wants me. No, I'm not needed by anyone. So just don't save me. Because nobody wants me. And this old woman had spent her whole life out of love raising these children. And now, when she needed them the most, they didn't want her. Huh? Is this love? So we see these instances so many times. Other things are, even the relationships which exist, they're based on such a superficial platform. They're so flimsy that they can break at the spur of a moment. Sometimes, being a dermatologist, I get to meet women who come in so much anxiety. There's so much anxiety, they've seen some patch somewhere on their body. And they will come and tell me, Doctor, please, just do anything you want. But remove this from my skin. Why? It's nothing to do. It's no problem. Say, no, no, no. You just remove it. Say, why? No, because if my husband sees this, then he'll stop loving me. He'll leave me. Is this all that it takes? To make and break a relation? Yeah. Is it so superficial? Is it such a flimsy background that we base our relationships that any change in the physical appearance, just forget it. Goes to the raddi. Yeah? But that is what's happening. Same thing when you see people are very opulent, very rich. Then there are so many friends who say, oh, we love you. We love you so much. You are our friend. But some unfortunate thing and this karodpati becomes a roadpati. Then he doesn't have a single friend. What happened to all the love of his friends? So the love was not love. Right? So that is where we need to think. Was this really love? Or was it something else? So this is what the scriptures explain. That this is not love. This is a perverted reflection of love called as lust. It's a different entity altogether. It's not love. It's lust. And what is lust? Lust is explained as an insatiable desire. It's an insatiable desire. That means which cannot be satisfied. Desire for personal enjoyment. for one's own enjoyment, which is self-centered. It's very explanatory. Yeah, it's one's own enjoyment, which is self-centered. Yeah, and the person is ready to do anything for that. So that is what is lust. But you may say that you are talking of all these people who have had selfish motives. But we have seen other relations as well. We have our family. We have our friends. Yeah, who do not have such selfish motive. Yeah, what about that? But actually, if we understand the difference between love and lust, then we will be able to understand this better. So what is love? Love is never self-centered. It is for never any personal enjoyment. Whereas lust is always self-centered. This is like, you know, you examine any relationship. You examine. This is like you have in science. How many science students here? Quite a few. You all have the litmus test. Yes, litmus paper. It's a litmus paper. It's a paper which checks whether this is an acid or an alkali. Right? Yes. So similarly, any relation, anywhere, to check whether this is lust or this is love. Okay? Yeah? So lust is with self-centered. It's for personal gain. Whereas love is never self-centered. It's never for any personal gain. In love, the person will be only giving without any expectations for what I am getting. Yeah? But what would lust be? Someone can tell me? Lust is exactly the opposite. What it would be? Only taking. No question of giving. As long as I am getting, very good. The minute you stop giving me, just forget it. Right? So, the next point is, that is why, because love is giving without any expectations, so that is why it is everlasting. It is endless. Right? But a lust, because you are expecting every time, so that is why it has an end point. It will end at a particular point. Yeah? And the next thing about love is that it will not change in any situation. The situation around may change, but love will never change. Yeah? But lust, on the contrary, keep changing. Situation changes, physical appearance changes, I don't like you. Right? And the fruit of love is always sweet, always pleasurable. It will only give happiness. Some people say, oh, love is sweet poison. No. Love is never poison. If there is poison, it is not love. It is lust. Love is always sweet nectar. There is no poison. Yeah? So fruits of love have to be always sweet. Right? But lust, the fruits of lust are only problems. Lust can only give problems. So beginning is problem, middle is problem, end is problem. We have a very nice example to understand this. We all know, what is the emblem of the greatest emblem structure in our country which denotes love, so-called love? Taj Mahal. Yeah? Everyone has heard of Taj Mahal? Who has not heard of Taj Mahal? Anyone here who has not heard Taj Mahal? Soul, you have heard Taj Mahal? Soul is from Spain. So do you know Taj Mahal? Okay. So still this, you've heard it, right? Yeah. So it is one of the 7 wonders of the world, the Taj Mahal, considered to be an emblem of what? Emblem of love. The love of Emperor Shah Jahan for his wife Mumtaz Mahal. We all know it, right? Everybody, because we learn it, right? I think from whenever we study in school, we all learn it. So this emblem of love, so-called love, what is the history behind it? Yeah, after she died, he built this structure, monument, right? And he used 20,000 men for 20 years to build a structure. A beautiful structure. And at the end of it, what did he do? He cut off their hands. Why? So that they don't build anything like that again. Right? So behind this emblem of love is this whole shadow of cruelty. Right? So what is involved? Does it fit into the criteria of love or lust? Who says love? Anyone saying love? We discussed what are the criteria. What are the criteria of love and what are the criteria of lust? Where does it fit in? Lust. So what did we say? The fruits of lust are only problems. It's very evident. Who was the son of Shah Jahan? Who was the son of Shah Jahan? History students? Aurangzeb. Aurangzeb was pleasure or pain? Pain. Big pain. Pain not for everyone else, only even for his own father he was a pain. For his brothers he was a pain. He killed everyone. He imprisoned his father. And what a terror he spread through the whole of India. Nobody remembers Shah Jahan and says, oh wow, he was great. And he's a product, he's a fruit of what? Lust or love? It's very evident. Right? So it's a very clear parameter to understand what is love, what is lust. So as we were discussing, that love is everlasting. It cannot have a cessation. It cannot have an end point. So as you were saying, that we may say, oh, you're talking of all these extreme cases. But we have people around us who really don't have any selfish motives. We have our friends. We have, who don't have any, you're talking of people who have selfish motives. But we know people who don't. So isn't that love? Yes, there's loving sentiments, but it doesn't fit into all the criteria of love. You've seen some hoardings in the city saying, "Main hu na." How many of you have seen this? How many have not seen it? I think it's better. Everywhere, I don't know, for some advertisement, some film, they had this, "Main hu na, hu na." So people may, in our lives, they may say, oh, don't worry, I am there for you. Without any selfish motive. I am there to take care of you. I am there to protect you. Yes? Yeah? So isn't that love? Yes, it is loving sentiments. But that has a cessation. There is an end point. What? Death. Mrityu sarvaharaschaham. Even if someone sincerely, very, very honestly, very selflessly wants to be your, really love you and be with you and help you. But there is something which is beyond our control. And that is death. So even if you want to, you cannot help someone. Right? Do you agree with this? Yeah? So, these are fallible soldiers. Soldiers who can leave us at any point of time. So now we need to come to the point. So what do I do? If I can't find real love here, then what do I do? Where do I find real love? So what are the points of real love? What are the qualities that we need to see? Yeah? Should be selfless. Second. Everlasting. Third. Sorry? Is always giving. Fourth, does not change, remains constant. And the fruits are what? Fruits are what? Sweet. Sweet in the sense there is peace. There is happiness. There is ecstasy. Yeah, it is never poison. It's only pleasure. So where do I find this? So this solution is explained in the scriptures, in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, Lord Krishna is explaining in the Bhagavad Gita, Voktaram yagya tapasam, sarva loka maheshwaram, suhrudam sarva dehina, nyatva mam shantim ruchati. He's giving the peace formula. Yeah? What is that formula? He's saying that one who understands that I am the enjoyer, I am the proprietor, I am the well-wisher of all living entities. that person will always be peaceful. Now the wordings are very, very clear. He's saying, I am the well-wisher, Suhrudam Sarvadehinam. Saying, I am the well-wisher of all living entities. It's very clear. There is no discrimination. He's not saying, well-wisher of all except 1, 2, 3. No. He's very clear. He says, I am the well-wisher of all living entities. It is a statement. Huh? So we see that how he is so clear about his statement that he is a well-wisher. Yeah, there are so many atheists, there are so many scientists who say, oh, God is dead. There's no God. Huh? God is my enemy. Yeah, we've heard this? There are so many atheists like that. But does God say that I am well-wisher of all except these people? Does he say that? No. He is a well-wisher irrespective of who you are. Whether you believe he exists or you don't believe he exists, whether you like him or you don't like him, whether you consider him your friend or you don't consider him your friend, he is still the well-wisher. Right? Yeah? Irrespective of any condition. And he continues to be the well-wisher. So, one may say that you are talking of God, but what has God given us? You're talking, he's a well-wisher, he's this, he's that. What has he given us? Now all of us sitting in this room, are all of us alive? Is each and every one of you alive? How many of you are alive? Please raise your hands. Yeah, you're all alive. We are all alive, right? Can you tell me, what is the most essential thing that we need right now to stay alive? Air. If air stops even for a few minutes, we will not be alive. Correct? Right? Who is providing this air? The municipal corporation? The government of India? Yeah? God. And is any of us sitting in this room paying a bill for the air? Are you? Anyone? Paying a bill for all the milliliters of oxygen that you have taken since birth? Anyone? Yeah? Just think about it. Yeah? Anyone? Oh. And you say, what has God given us? Huh? Every moment, day after day after day, is just providing. And does he say that I cut the oxygen supply of people who say I am not there? Does he say that? They don't get. Because they don't believe I'm there. Right? I won't give you. You say I'm not there. I'm giving you and you're saying I'm not there. Cut it off. Huh? Does he say that? Does he say I'm not going to give sunlight to people who believe that I don't believe I'm there? Does he say that? No. He's saying I'm well-wisher of all living entities. So what is the greatness of a person? Even when someone is condemning him, even when someone is using abusive words against him, still, day after day, moment after moment, he's just providing without any complaints. Huh? Without any complaints. Yes? Isn't that a genuine well-wisher? Isn't that a genuine well-wisher? Who is such a person who could be such a well-wisher? Only if he loves you. Right? Right? Even if you turn back and tell him, just, I don't care who you are. But he's still giving. Right? Another aspect of love is that I said it doesn't change. It is very constant. Huh? It doesn't change. So an important thing we need to understand at this point is that we are not these bodies. Huh? We are not this body. We are spirit soul. Yeah? The spirit soul has taken up this human body, right? Just like Kailash. Right? You all saw the drama of Kailash. Huh? He had taken this human body, then he took another body, then he took another body. Right? So we have changed bodies so many times. Right? And everybody that we had, whether it was a dog or whether it was a hog or whether it was a cat or whether it was a fish or whether it was a worm, we all had parents. Yes? Do you agree? Do you agree? How many agree? Good. We all had parents. Yeah? We had our social circle. Right? Everybody that we took. But where are they now? We had a body of dog. We had a body of snake. Do you remember them? When you were a snake, who was my father? Who was my mother? Who was my brothers? Who were my sisters? Do you remember? Anyone remembers? Yeah? No. They were there, they're gone. We changed our body. We changed our purview. We changed our relationships. Everything changed. Right? Yeah? But who is a person who has been with us throughout? Even when we were a worm, even when we were a dog, even when we were a hog. Who is that one person who has accompanied us everywhere? It's the Lord. This is a very beautiful story to explain this point. Once there was a king and he had four wives. Could you please just move forward, all of you? Once there was a king who had four wives. And of these four wives, he actually loved the first one very much. He used to decorate her nicely, he used to feed her very nicely. And the second one also, he loved her very much. Because she was very, very dear to him. So he would take her whenever he would travel to show off to everyone else. See what a beautiful wife I have. Huh? And the third wife was very knowledgeable. So he used to always consult her. When he had any problem, he would always go to her, ask her. Huh? And the fourth wife, he always neglected. He didn't bother. She was there. Just existing. One day this king became sick and he was close to death. So he was told that you hardly have any time to live and you have to leave your body. So he immediately called his first wife, whom he was so dear to, whom he used to love so much. He used to spend the maximum time with her. So he said, please, will you come with me? I have to leave my body. I'm going to die. He said, no way. I'm not coming with you. And that's it. She didn't answer anything more. When he called the second wife, please, I have loved you so much. Will you please come with me? Saying, no way, I cannot come with you. In fact, when you die, I'm going to marry someone else. I'm just waiting. And the third wife, when he called her, said, will you please come? I have loved you so much. She said, I can come with you, but I'll come only up to the crematorium. After that, I cannot come. And then he heard a voice. That was a fourth wife. And she said, yes, I'm coming with you. Wherever you go, I will come with you. And he was surprised. Because he had never paid attention to this fourth wife. Whole life. So the story actually explains who is this king and who are the four wives. This king is we. The soul. Huh? And the first wife is the body. We have spent our whole life decorating this body, making this body, taking care of this body. But at time of death, body cannot come with you. Right? Body is here. The second wife is our wealth and possession. She will get married to someone else. Because you die, your possessions go somewhere else. Someone else takes over. Right? Kailash, he was so attached. My house, my field, my, what else, money, right? And when he died, his children took over. And after they go, someone else will take over, right? And the third is the relatives. Saying, oh, they are there for me. But where they can come with you to? Just up to the crematorium. Beyond that, they cannot jump into the fire with you. Yeah? That's it. And even if they jump into the fire, they cannot come with you. because of the soul which is gone. Yeah? And the fourth wife is the Lord, who is accompanying us life after life after life. Can you imagine if you have a friend of yours whom you really love and she's just going and you want to be with her and you are trying to be with her, just walk along with her. She doesn't even acknowledge. She just walks by. Huh? You know how painful it is? Yeah? Can you feel how painful it is? Yes? You're doing it for her. To be with her. She just doesn't acknowledge. Huh? But this is what we're doing with the Lord. He's accompanying us life after life after life. Huh? And we don't want to acknowledge His presence. It's just there. But still, does He stop it? No. He doesn't. Huh? He's still coming. Why? Because He knows that we will never find love anywhere else. Our search is going to be fruitless. So just for that, He wants to be there. And He comes again and again and He sends His devotees. You saw Narad Muni? He's coming again and again. What was the need? He could have left. Forget this Kailash. Just forget him. I go somewhere else. He's coming to remind him. Please, you will not find this love here. The only real love, the Lord is saying, is between you and me. Everything else will have an end point. Everything else will have a cessation. It cannot extend beyond a particular point. Do you agree? Yes? So that is what the Lord is saying. So now we understand, oh yes, this is what is love. I have to get out of this lust. I have to get into this love. Huh? But then you may say that, look, you tell about the Lord loving and caring for me. But what about the time? So many times I needed something desperately. How many times has that happened? We needed something desperately. And I offered so many prayers. And I did so many things, but the Lord didn't fulfill. Has it happened with anyone? Yeah? No one? Yeah? You want something desperately and you're doing everything. Lord, please give, please give, please give. And He doesn't do it. And there are so many people who say, oh, He doesn't love me. He didn't give me what I need, what I wanted at that point in time. But actually, if you understand, that we are so conditioned to this give and take relationship in this world. Huh? In this world, we only know this. I gave you this, now I expect so much from you. Right? Same thing. I did this for her, so now she must do this for me. Huh? So much use, so much conditioned to this give and take relationship. And the same thing we are trying to apply to God. Huh? I broke so many coconuts. I did so many dandavats. Why aren't you doing it for me? Huh? But wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Now if the Lord also applies the same principle. Yeah, and He turns around. Say, okay, just wait. You're cribbing so much. Right? Now all that I've given you. What have you been doing for me? Would we even be able to stand to a drop of what He's been doing for us? Yes? No? So this relationship of the Lord and the love of God is beyond our conception of this mundane love. So-called love. So now that we know that yes, what have you understood from this? That the real love is with the Lord. Yes. So how do I develop this love? Yeah? So the process that is explained, how one can actually develop this love, is when actually you associate with people who have that love. Yeah? People who have that love for God. And the second thing is when we chant the holy names of the Lord. These are the two important things that one can do to reciprocate with this relationship. All this while, it has been a one-way traffic. one-sided. The Lord is just giving, 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 giving. It's high time. Now we realize, okay, there's so much of taking. Now I know that I actually have to reciprocate. And love means I have to start reciprocating. So I make this attempt to reciprocate with the Lord. Right? So how do I do it? If you have a rich friend, a girl who is from a very rich family, and you want to give her a gift, you would think, oh, what do I give her? She must be having this, she must be having that. What can I give her? Right? You have to scratch your brain so much. And the Lord, whom you want to develop a relationship, you want to develop love with, He has everything. He's a supreme creator. What can we give Him? Right? So only thing that we can give is just acknowledge. Just acknowledge His love. And at least attempt to reciprocate. Just make an attempt to reciprocate with that love. That is the most that we can give Him. Right? And He's making it so simple. He says, just offer me a leaf. Just offer me a flower. Just offer me water with love. And I will accept it. It's so simple. Yeah? And just like Raghav Manjari was saying that, how many times you want to express that love? You want to express love, right? So how do we express love with the person who really loves us? So it's explained by one of the leaders of ISKCON, he was saying this, that the fullest expression of our love for Krishna, the Lord, is by chanting His holy names. When you chant the Lord's names, it is the fullest expression of your love. There cannot be a better expression. So how do we develop this relationship? Associate with people who love God and chant the holy names. So you say, fine, you've told me this. The real love is with God. How I do it, how I develop this relationship is this process. But fine, I'm still living in this world. So what about my relations here? What about all the loving relations here? How do I deal with that? So it is very simple. It's explained that one who has love of God will actually have love for every living entity without discrimination. It is just like the sun. You've seen the sun, right? Does the sun discriminate where I'm giving heat, where I'm giving light? Does it discriminate? This area, no. That area, no. No. It just gives without discrimination. Right? So, similarly, the love that is there in our hearts is dormant. It is the same love. It just has to be reawakened. And we reawaken it by what process? By associating with people who have that love and by chanting. And once that love is reawakened, then we will also have that sun of love in our heart shining through. At present, the sun, when it's covered with the clouds, you can't see the sun, right? Similarly, this love, which is like the sun, is there in our heart. It's covered by the clouds of all this ignorance, so-called love. So when we clean it up, this sun, this rays will actually shine through. And this love, we will actually be able to express without discrimination. Without love of God, any other love will only be based on the bodily platform. At some point of time, it will always be self-centered. And at some point of time, it will cease. It will end. So if one really wants endless, everlasting love, then first we have to cultivate love with a real reservoir of all love. Then one can actually relate with everyone else. So how do we relate with everyone else? You share this love with everyone else. You may be wondering why this Chetna festival is held, you know, every month. The purpose is this, that everyone gets a chance. Everyone is reminded. Everyone is reawakened. That look, don't search for a mirage in the desert. It is not there. It is not there. Real love is not there. It is here. And once you fill your cup, your heart with this love, then you can go and reciprocate with real love with everyone without discrimination. We see this example. There's a story, a very short story, just to conclude. There's a story of a hunter called Mrigari. He was such a cruel-hearted hunter. We've seen hunters, right? When they kill the animal fully. But this hunter was so cruel-hearted that he used to half-kill. And those animals would suffer in pain. And he would feel great delight. But then he came in contact with a devotee, the same, Narad Muni. And Narad Muni gave him love of God. He gave him the real love. And immediately, because Mrigari's heart filled with love of God, he actually started loving everyone without discrimination. Not just humans, not just this caste, that caste, this nation, that nation. He was loving everyone. He became such a soft-hearted person, so loving, that he was not ready to harm even an ant. He would walk in a way that not even an ant would be harmed. That is a power. That is real love. Yeah? So when our heart is filled, the cup of our heart is filled with real love, when we are connected to the source, the electrical source, just like if you have, powerhouse, yeah? Similarly, the real love has to be connected to the real source. That is there, then one's heart will be filled to the brim with everlasting love. And that same love we can share with the rest of the world. And the best example which I want to conclude is Srila Prabhupada. You can see him sitting there. He's the founder Acharya of ISKCON. He had full love. Love for God. And because his heart was overflowing with such love, he wanted to share this love with everyone. And in spite of so many hardships and old age, he went out of his way to give this love to everyone. The very fact that we are all sitting here today to discuss about love is because this one person went out of his way to share this love with all of us. Otherwise, where would be the concept? We would also be doing the same thing. Love is like gold and lust is like iron. Both are metals, but isn't there a difference between them? Right? So we, in our illusion, would have kept thinking that yes, this iron is gold. Don't you think there would be any more insane person than this? Thinking iron to be gold. What would you call such a person? Mad. But that is what most of the world is doing. Iron is iron, gold is gold. So when there is service, when there is exchange, that is love. When there is exploitation, it's only lust. So Srila Prabhupada actually went out, took all those hardships so that all of us could today discuss what is real love. And all of us can actually get connected to that real love. There was a hymn that we used to sing when we were in school, saying that God's love is so wonderful. God's love is so wonderful. God's love is so high you can't get above it. And God's love is so deep you can't get under it. And God's love is so wide you can't get around it. Immeasurable. And I used to wonder, what is this? But now we realize that actually we see examples who have experienced that love and they're sharing this love with others. So the request is that all of us actually understand what is real love. Try to attain that real love. Develop a relationship to get that real love. And share it with everyone around us. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for tolerating this long talk. If there are any questions, any suggestions, any comments, they're welcome. I can't hear you. My ears are... Hare Krishna? It's working. What was your source of inspiration for this lecture? Have you read the book Endless Love?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions?
You said if we remember, if our parents were the same in our previous birth.
Sorry?
You said one thing, if we recognize if they were the parents in our previous birth, if we were an animal or in human form. So do we have the same parents in every birth?
No.
No. Not even the same soulmate.
Sorry?
Not even the same soulmate.
No. Different. Everything changes. Because everyone's life is individual. Everyone's life is individual. Everyone's soul is individual. Right? So, according to our activities, individual activities in every life, that is how the next life is given, the next body. Okay?
Depending on our karma.
Depending on our activities in this life. Yeah? So, it is explained that about these relationships, a very beautiful example. Just like you see the river flowing, right? Now, on the river, in the river, there would be some straw pieces floating in the river, right? At some point of time, all these straw pieces come together, right? And as the river goes downstream, they just float off in different places, right? Never to meet again. So similarly, every life that we take, we have parents. So that is determined by what your activities were there in the previous life. You get a new body, right? So a person who becomes your parent, also by his or her activity, they get this particular child, okay? And then what activities you perform and the people you meet and then, you know, that goes on. That's like a cycle. And if you had to really make a chart of it, it would be really intricate. Right?
But in one of the Puranas, it's mentioned that the 11 lives in the Manu or something like this. It's like you are the same person born again, same parents, same soulmate.
The Bhagavad Gita doesn't explain like that. It says that every lifetime that you get, yeah, it may be that you come, the same person may be in a different body, just like we had this Kailash. Yeah, the story was very explanatory. Were you there for the drama?
No.
Yeah, the drama was that this person Kailash, he was so attached to his house and his family and his friends and his son and his children that because of that love and attachment, he came back. He came back to that house, but not as Kailash or not as anything. He came as a dog. The attachment was there. So, the people you see around us, the living entities, the animals, they may be the same people who we are related to. So, he came back. And he knew that this is my house, I have to guard this house, my children are not being careful. But his children didn't know that he is a father. Huh? Then he died. Right? And then he became a snake because he was still attached. And he stayed in the garden of his own house. He didn't go anywhere else. He was there. He was attached. He wanted to be there. And the whole life he was just thinking, I have to be there. So he came back. But he knew it, but they didn't. Right? So it may be you get the same place, you are there in the same place, but you will not be able to reciprocate in the same manner. Yeah? Someone is attached to his wife, he may come back. Yes. But as what? That will be dependent on his activities. Right? Does that answer your question? Anyone else?
Doubt, query.
No questions. Because all of them have got real love.
If you're shy, then maybe you can write on a piece of paper and send it. But
Hare Krishna. Mataji, since I'm convinced of this philosophy, but some of my friends who are some of them who are misguided by some other philosophies, they have a question that probably they have heard from some person that a person, once he is in a human form of life, he can never again go to an animal body. Because, and the example that they put forward is, suppose you fail in third standard, you will remain in third standard, maybe you will not go ahead in fourth and fifth, but you will never go back to first standard. So, how is it possible that if human form is the highest conscious at the highest stage of consciousness, how will he again go back as an animal body?
It's a very scientific process. If he had got an animal form, if he had got a human form of life, if he has got a human form of life, but his activities are not human, his activities are animal-like. He has a human body, but the activities that he is doing is of an animal. The consciousness, you may have externally, you said the human form of life is the highest consciousness, but sorry sir, your consciousness was never human. But what is the consciousness of a human? It's explained. Ahara nidra bhayamaitunamcha. Samanya ekam pashubhi narana. Dharmo hi eko aneko vishesho. Dharme nahina pashubhi samana. What does it say? Ahara nidra bhayamaituna. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. These four activities are common between an animal and a human being. Right? So he must be having a human body. But he's doing the same activities as an animal. So till that level, even though there is externally a human body, consciousness is animal consciousness. Activity is same, right? But what makes a human human and not an animal is dharmo hi eko aneko vishesho. Only special is dharma. If he has followed the real path, and unless he has done that, dharmo hi eko aneko vishesho. What is that? Saman, it is the same. He is just an animal. Right? There is no difference. Yeah? So, he may have got a human form of life, this body, but if his consciousness was animal, then his whole life is only doing those activities. And what the Lord explains in the Bhagavad Gita is that the last minute of your life, the last moment, whatever your consciousness is, that you shall attain. It's his promise. It's his statement. Right? You will attain because you loved it the most. He's very kind that way. Whatever you love, he will give. So if our consciousness was animal, fine. He says, good. Take it. Right? So externally it was human body, but you were never a human. Because you didn't do the activity which is for a human. So there is no question of first standard and second standard. There is a question of complete demotion. Right? The responsibility becomes even more because he's a human. What is the... if a small peon steals, what is the punishment that he gets? He may get something. Someone may slap him. They may put a fine on him. Cut his salary. Okay? If an officer steals, what is his punishment? He may be fired from his job, whatever. But if the income tax commissioner only steals, doesn't the punishment increase? Yes. Why? Because he was empowered to do more important things, right? With more faith, more trust, right? So his demotion is even more than the peon. So you may say, oh, after all he was income tax officer. If you had to demote him only, then why not demote him down to something else? He was income tax commissioner, so make him just an officer. Why if you have to take him lower down? After all, for a peon, you left him like that only. Then why you are taking him so much down? Does that work? No. He was given more intelligence. He was given more opportunity to understand. That should have been better in his brain that he can't afford to steal. Right? A peon would not know so much. Automatically. When you are empowered with more facilities, it's more responsibility. Right? So similarly, human form, you didn't use a facility. Very good. There you go. Right? Yeah? The question is that I recently read an advertisement in a train that if the children in the womb is handicapped, you can abort it. It is not wrong. Can we do it or it is also killing? The rule doesn't change. When you kill someone, it is killing. If I go out, I go to a mentally retarded house, I say these people are of no use to the society. They are of no use. They are mentally retarded. What contribution is to society? They are only eating the... they are consuming the nation's resources. Just kill them. Accepted? Accepted? No? Someone is lost his limbs. Everything is gone. No use. He's just lying on the bed. What a use is he? He's of no use. He's just eating. Just kill him. Accepted? The same principle applies here. One may do according to one's independence, right? But the reaction will always be there, right?
Hare Krishna. Okay. We have a very special announcement. We have a guest amongst us. She is Miss Shanta Anand, sister in charge of skin department in the KM Hospital. Can you please stand up? Thank you so much for spending your valuable time and coming here today. Okay. Since there are no questions, the next part of our program is Kirtan. We just heard from Rukmini Mataji that one of the best ways of expressing our original love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is by dancing and chanting in front of Him. So let's put into practice what we have just heard by dancing and singing in Kirtan. Thank you very much for spending your valuable time. Again, I would like to thank all of you all. After Kirtan, we have Prasad, and below there is a bookstall downstairs. So if you find any book that you like, or even if you do want to buy, just take a glance and look at the books. They're very nice. They're speaking more about the philosophy of Prabhupada. So you can take advantage of the bookstall downstairs. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Please last dancing.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Please everyone, please pay attention to the
Krishna. Krishna Hare.